Welcome to the Av Podcast with Kelsey
on South Shore Ave Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Av Podcast, man. Bro, are we trying to live the Kawhi Leonard days? Oh, man, Randall, you made me jealous. God damn it. I got stogies too upstairs, man. Welcome to the Av Podcast, where I'm joined by the South Shore Ave family members. We got Julian, a.k.a. Jules the Commissioner, and we got Coach Rand, a.k.a. COO slash President slash Presidente of Team Lightskin, and the co-founder of the Red Rush Ontario's AAU basketball program, Mr. Randall Walter. All yorked up, wrapped it up. Let's go. How you guys doing today?
Man. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive.
I feel like going out, man. I feel like going out right now. I have energy. It's been a long time since I've said I had energy after 10 o'clock, man. I'm ready to go out, man. I'm ready to party. Woo! You know, I'm ready.
Could I get a 3 clap for the Ric Flair?
Woo! What a game.
Yo, honestly, man, I mean, I'd ask what your thoughts are, but, you know, it's funny because the last time we did something like this after a buzzer beater, I think I did it with the two of you guys when it was when Kawhi hit that three against the Sixers, the four bouncer. I'll tell you right now, the Raptors can never finish a game again on the other side of the floor. It has to be on the west side of the floor to end games from now on, because that's serendipitous,
yeah,
right
fourth
there.
Fourth quarters.
Yeah. Second half has to be on that side of the floor for going forward from now on. But I'll tell you what though. No matter what happens, like game seven, no matter what happens, I know we'll get into that in just a moment. You gotta be proud of what the Raptors are doing, man. They've overachieved. They have done it all with just heart. Just heart and just resilience. And I mean, most people had this series maybe going six max, but you know, like the fact that these guys are losing bodies are dropping like flies. I mean, it's a playoff, so it's a war of attrition anyway, but the fact that these guys are going down the way they're going down, they're down two starters and they still came out on top in this fashion too, on top of that. I mean, like I said, they got Julian want to throw ones in the air right now.
Almost. We're not there yet. If we win game seven, I'll be doing that. But no, you're right, man. Like, honestly, nobody should be mad at the Raps if we lose game seven. Nobody. Even if we lost tonight, nobody should be angry. You know, maybe disappointed because we had the lead for the most part of the game. And I thought we played like we actually deserved to win that game. Like, we were the better team. I thought so. But other than that, if the series ends at, what is it? Game seven, is it on Sunday? On Sunday? If it's series ends on Sunday, well, it will end on Sunday. If we lose out on Sunday, nobody should be holding their head down. Like, as Raptor fans, or actually the organization, the players, because for what, the amount of effort that they put on that floor tonight and grit, it showed you, like, you need dogs at this time of the year. It's not all about talent. You need dogs. And I think Barrett is a dog. I think Barrett showed us all he's a dog. He's a playoff guy that you can trust. Scotty's shown that. Right? Scotty's shown that. CMB shows that, is showing that he can be that guy in the years to come. And honestly, I hate to say it, it shows that Ingram isn't that guy. I hate to say it. It shows that he doesn't have that dog in him. Now, the sample size is small, but from what I see so far, he doesn't have it. So everybody should be happy for the product that those guys displayed, showed on the court. And whatever happens in game seven, everyone should be going up, walking down the street with their head up high, man.
And what's funny is, you know, when they announced that Ingram was out, in my head, I was like, what does that mean? I think the Raptors still could win this game anyway. You know what I mean?
I
never thought for a second.
To your point, I have to cut you off. Did you know when Ingram was deemed out, the Vegas odds, it only went up by 0.5 points? at the time, meaning like it was like, I think Cleveland had was favored by 4 points. It only went up to 4.5, meaning like it wasn't a big, as to your point, it wasn't a huge factor. He wasn't a huge factor. Now, if Scottie was out, the spread might have went to like maybe like 10, minus 10 for Cleveland. But it didn't move. It barely moved. It barely moved. So that shows you, man. It's sad. It's sad, but it shows he wasn't a factor.
Yeah, he hasn't been a factor pretty much the whole series. Other than game four, you know, that's probably his best showing stats statistically, but you know, it is what it is. Like I said, it's the sample size, it's small, but it's large enough. It's 6 games, man. You know what I mean? It's
more than enough for me to see. I'm sorry.
It says exactly what I said last podcast, right? I mean, you know, we all question his durability. We question his resilience. We question his character, right? And you know, this everyone's seeing it live and direct. That you know, I was watching. Was it Sid? I think I shared that post where Sid
I'm happy he's back, by the way.
Yeah, what's that?
I said I'm happy he's back, by the way.
Yeah. And he went off on him. He went off on Ingram. And I think deep down we all feel that way. But the one thing I will say, without Ingram, we wouldn't be where we are right now.
True.
Because he did have a really good regular season.
Yeah.
And whether he's a regular season player or not a playoff player, whether he's really injured and he was injured down the line and he was thugging it through and now just couldn't because it's showing. I just think regardless of the circumstance, playoff basketball is a different brand of basketball. You're playing one team, you know, over and over in a 7-game series. So the game plan is relative, right? That's one. Two is throughout the series, we saw it that the ball was sticking, right? Because he was trying too much and he didn't have that burst. And I said it over and over on these pods that he was exposed on that. And I don't think defensively he held his own either. So, you know, CMB filled the role better because it gave him opportunity. Mm-hmm. And everyone kind of fell into the spacing opens up now because now you have guys operating either two sides of the court. Because, you know, you have left side with Barrett, right side with
it's all right for it to function after tonight. It's fine.
Scotty, sorry. Right side with Scotty or with Barrett. And then, you know what? Walter was hitting shots. It opens up everything. Once you get those paint touches, right, it opens up everything. Because now you're getting those threes. Now you're getting guys in foul trouble. Right, I thought what Cleveland did later in the game with switching, getting bigs on them, helped them a lot. Right, that's what got them back in the game because Barrett's kind of one dimensional.
And you know what the point I want to make too with Ingram after, so when he's on the court, we pretty much rely on him scoring, right? But you know what shows so much when he's off the court? Our defense is better. We got guys on the floor that are dogs that are defensively, like Shed is on the floor, right? If Ingram's not. And CMB is on the floor. So we're a better defensive team. Now, if he's on the court and he's not scoring and he's not locking down guys on the end, not to say like we need his height to, you know, for those reach-ins and like maybe, you know, for that odd rebound, but that one-on-one defense, we're having guys on the floor that can play and guard so we can get stops. So we can have that kind of grinding game that's more to our, you know, because those guys are, you know, I'm not, you know, Allen and Mobley, they're not like those hard grinding physical type players.
No.
So we can grind them down. So that's one huge advantage. Defensively, we're a much better team with him off the court.
Yeah. They played amazing defensively this
game. Amazing again. The last two games too. So it's not like tonight. The last 2-3 games. Defensively, outstanding. Outstanding.
Well, I was gonna say when you were talking earlier, right? You're saying like, you know, they got through these ones. I thought the last game, that was a win. Or maybe it was you, Jules. The last game, they should have won that.
They should have.
We could have closed this off. They just lost their sea legs at the end. And this time, right, and they were dead tired, right? You can just see it.
Right.
You seen Barnes, like Scotty, just kind of, whew, let me catch my breath.
He was hurt. He had like a bruised thigh or something like that.
Yeah, and you got Charlie Horse the last game.
Right? Yeah. And we were still in the game. And we could have won it.
And Ingram had a bruised pum-pum.
Exactly. And that's why we needed him. We actually had better runs with him off the court. Like when he was like, he got hurt in the second quarter, but even in the games before, we were sustaining the momentum or lead when he was off the court, or we would even take the lead. It was weird. So like, and like tonight we won without him. So yeah, it's doable. It's doable.
Well, I think in the scouting port, it reads like bruise P.P. It doesn't say the full word pum pum, but it says P.P.
Oh man. I feel for him.
I know we're joking, but
yeah, no, but
I don't feel for him. He's making all that money. I don't feel for shit.
Yeah, I know. I get it too. But like I'm saying, like, you know, this is where everybody's watching. Everybody, like every Raptor player wants that media attention, and this is the time of the year where they can actually get it. And he's not stepping up. So not that I feel for him, but like we need his contribution. We need it. And I'm wondering, like, if we did get to the second round, would he be any better? Or is this who he is so far in the playoffs?
Well, yeah, also, is it a matter of matchups, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. But I keep asking this question because I haven't really done any research on it.
Yeah.
Is Quickly out for a while still? Or
They're not saying. All they're saying, he's not returning for this series. So I think he's out. Those soft tissue injuries, you can't just come back. Usually it's like 6 to 8 weeks, right? And if you come back early, you can just trigger it again. So
yeah.
And it's tough because you can't come in like after not playing for I don't know how long it's been. It's been like a month at least or whatever, and just dive right into the playoff mode. It's playoff minutes are different than regular season minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's still thrown into that.
Just bring him in here and there, spot, like, you know, he doesn't even have to start. It's just great to have a guy that can come off the bench that can move the needle a bit, right? So,
you know who really turned the tide, like, because when things were going really south, AJ Lawson. Shout out to AJ Lawson.
You know what? I give him a lot of credit. Shout out
to AJ, man, and his pops. Love his pops.
Yo, he hit a big three tonight coming in, like, during a moment of such tension and crowd screaming, playoff game. He just comes off the bench. Boom, hits a three. I'm like, yo, this guy has balls. This would be like, I'm sure he has a green light because he's a scorer. He's a natural scorer. But I'm like, shit, okay. Right? Yeah. And he's a dog on defense too. He's hustling.
If he allowed that, he's the one who initiated that turnover.
Right, yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Those kind of plays, I don't see like Ingram doing, you know, Grady Dick ain't doing that, those kind of plays. So like, you got to give the minutes to the guy. So shout out to Darko for putting him in the rotation.
He had to,
I guess so, but like not necessarily.
True.
No, you put in a guy from the G League in the not that he's in the rotation, you know what I mean? Like he's on the floor at times.
He gets minutes every game.
He played every game, right? He's a few minutes here and there. Right. Man, that's impressive.
End of quarters, like he'll come in and foul trouble, who guys are in foul trouble or for some defensive pressure, like pressure on ball, right? And the other guy too, I mean, I think last game we relied a little bit too heavy on him in crucial minutes in the game because he's still not ready. But I give it to Walter. He had a great both, like two ways of ball, like made some big shots, was more aggressive, like, you know,
attacking,
even though some of them were bad decisions, he still made the right decision of shooting. Well, I say bad shots, but the right decisions, right? Like just miss every ball but you know, whatever it is, he's helping the team when we need it. And that's what we need.
Not agreed. 100%. And he's not hurting us with turnovers.
No.
And he's hitting big shots. And to your point, he had a terrible game two, I think. Was it game two? He missed like 10 threes or seven threes.
Yeah.
Kudos to him coming back. He kept on shooting, hitting his shots again.
Well, found his confidence. His first playoff.
He's getting
into the rhythm of things, understanding matchups, understanding what's needed of him. and finding his role. And that's the main thing we're seeing with the core rotation of eight. They're all finding their role of what they need to do and when they need to do it, right? And that's when you're in that role, and whether you're, let's say he's missing shots, then he grabbed rebounds today. I've never seen him grab rebounds. He's grabbing rebounds and playing great on ball defense. He's playing against two future Hall of Famers, guys.
Agreed, 100%. And he's not looking over his shoulder. Like during the season, he was looking over his shoulder for Grady Dick, right? Because they were pretty much jostling for that shooting guard position, right? So now he doesn't have to do that. So mentally, he can just go out. He knows his job, knock down those threes, play defense, and just limit turnovers and create havoc. So score when you can. So he has that now going into the games. So
I feel like Randall's being like, you're not wrong about Walter, but I feel like you're being slightly biased because you think he might be Antiguan. Personally, that's what I'm thinking. But no, but honestly, I'm like going back to Lawson for a second. Yeah, that because he was guarding Schroeder on that one before they turned over the ball. Like the intensity of that alone, just watching the replay, I was impressed with that because I'm like, you know, your life is on the line basically, you know, for the season to end. But I just love the energy that they're giving out there. And honestly, I got to give shout out to Darko because you know what I mean. I think these guys they're basically right now what's happening here is he's clearly got their ears in terms of like motivation, hustling hard. You know what I mean? Yeah. It sounds like Rick Ross's first song, but like they're hustling, man. Like they're really going at it like every night. He's got their ear. You know what I mean? So it's like for them to maintain it throughout this period and you know, and home games is going to do that to you, especially the deeper you go into it. But, and you got to give props to them, man, because again, in situations like this, game six, you know, the team's automatically going to have their back against the wall. And sometimes they're going to go out like the Raptors, and sometimes they're going to go out like Atlanta. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it's like you just realize, like, these guys they're motivated, man. They're super motivated right now. You know what I mean? And it's lovely to see because, like I said, you're seeing plays break down. You know, they don't have great guard play in terms of setting up an offense. So it's like everything that the margin for error is pretty thin, but they make up for it with the hustling. Yeah. You know what I mean? They make up for it with extra rebounds. They make up for it for the strong stands on defense.
Yep.
First of all, the highlight of the game, of course, is RJ's shot. But up until that happened, the highlight of the game was Scotty's end-to-end dunk and then block on the other end. Man, that was amazing.
The energy he brought and the crowd just
infectious,
right? Like, you know, and those were momentum swings, right? Because I, you know, even though it kind of went back and forth, that was that period where it was around that 8, and then they started to climb and gradually became 15, right? I mean, there was a point it could have went really, really left, right?
Yeah.
And they ended up keeping it status quo, right? And you never know with Harden and Mitchell what's going to happen because they're just microwave scores, right? So that lead, we needed it. And, listen, man, I said it on a few podcasts, I think one, maybe our first one. I was optimistic on Scotty's offensive game, but the consistency and his ability to get to his spots and finish, man, I haven't seen this.
It's impressive.
I've not seen it from him.
And I've not seen it. Oh, you before? You haven't seen him before?
No, before. I'm saying no. I've seen it now. Then I have not seen it from him, like in the regular season, right? Like even last season, he was terrible at it, right? Yeah. And now you've seen the progression and the confidence, right? Almost like I've waited my time. I've kind of led other guys. I've catered my game, but he's put the Raptors on his shoulders, and he's just a big boy. Like he's carrying the load. And RJ is one.
Right. You know what? With Ingram going down, it gave RJ more light to be that number two scorer.
Right. So, and I said this on our previous Raptors pod, right? When we had our what do you call it? End of the year
Raptors. End of the Raptors address.
End of the Raptors address, right? It likens me to when we got rid of Rudy Gay. The game for DeRozan and Larry to show that duo to show what they can do because they needed to carry more of that load. And it's kind of funny because Gay and Ingram have similar games.
Yeah, it's hilarious, actually. It's actually hilarious.
That's true.
Right? Ball stopping. That are not dynamic players, but really good at scoring at the mid level, right? That, you know, and you know, they use their length, their size to shoot over guys in the high post.
Right. Man, that's so crazy. That's actually crazy to actually think about. Yeah, you're right.
So
similar games. So you know, kudos for RJ, like taking the opportunity, scoring, playing like a dog, taking the team on his back, not shying away from adversity, from the tension or the crucial moments of the game. He wants the ball.
No, because we forget that who RJ is.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of criticism. RJ was a guy.
Mm-hmm.
RJ was a guy. Are we forgetting that RJ was supposed to be the number one pick in the draft? Are we forgetting RJ at a high school was the number one ranked player in the world? Are we forgetting that RJ carried Canada to its first international men's gold medal at any level?
And the answer is yes, we had. And we have forgotten. We were trying to trade him the whole season. Right?
I
rid of RJ's contract, rid of RJ.
Check, it's crazy. I liked him. I just didn't know where he would fit. But if you check the receipts, I thought that we needed, because he has grit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we need that winning culture. And my thing, we're still stuck with this now dilemma, because he's now taking that 1B role. Are we going to re-up on this whole experiment, or are we going to trade him for more pieces? That's maybe a conversation for later, but that's something I want to sit there, let it marinate, and then you got to put it on the grill.
Add it to the point I had from before, because this is why I was saying from the beginning, like, it's, and again, we could talk about this later, but I know we talked about it on the Satra, the State of the Raptors address, but the remember I was saying signing Ingram, like, especially when his contract comes up, I'm like, it may be a mistake, because we're already like at that first apron already. You know what I mean? And you can't keep these guys. You know what I mean? So somebody's going to go. Right now, it's like, it's looking like it might be Ingram.
It might be Ingram.
Ain't nobody taking Ingram at that salary range, though. That's the thing.
Not right now, but the problem, the reason why RJ, I think, was expendable, it wasn't because of his play. I think it was more to do with the fact that his contract is, you're getting a 20-point score or close to a 20-point score for like $20-something million. In this landscape, that's a steal. A starter? You know what I mean? A young starter at that, that's averaging roughly about 20 or close to 20 a game, that's a steal. You know what I mean? So I think that's what makes him attractive, right? But I think as his contract comes up, I think in another, I don't know if it's next year. I have to look, but it's either next year or the year after. But his contract's coming up relatively soon. You know what I mean? But his contract is friendly, so I think that's what makes it work. But it's funny because you mentioned, like, if we forgot who he was. I mean, yeah, coming out of high school, number one player in America. By the time college is over, his teammate passed him. And then Ja came, you know, from God knows where, came from out of the earth from Murray State and passed him, but he still went third overall. But the funny thing is, I've always said, consistent wise, he's had the best career.
Yeah.
His ceiling isn't as high as Ja and Zion, but he's the most consistent player out of those three in the draft by far. It's not even close. He barely misses games. Just on that alone. You know what I mean? And he stays out of trouble. Mm-hmm. He stays, those two things alone make him more valuable than Zion and Ja at the moment.
And he's playing at the crib, which typically causes more issues with players, right?
Yes.
Very grounded. The only thing that I fear with, like you said, he has room to grow, in my opinion. He still has a lot of room. His three's gotten a lot better. I think he can polish that up even more. And I think his handle has to get tighter. Right? He's still kind of left
handed. Yeah.
But there's a lot of things, and that's not stuff that he's not, I don't think he's a box. I do laugh a little bit sometimes. He's kind of cookie cutter in his game, because I call it kind of, like, not to be racist, but white boyish. But, like, you know, because it's very cookie cutter and very kind of robotic and linear,
yeah.
And not fluid. Not to say that that's anything bad with it. It's just his style of play. It's effective and it works for him. And I think he still has a lot of room to grow in that aspect. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, he does. He does in terms of his dribble. But I just like what he's able to make most of what he has, right? And what he has is he has that ability to create space and play bigger than he really is. He'll take contact. He'll come in the paint. He doesn't have that vertical like as other two guards in the league, but he has that ability to move you out the way and get that lane and get into that lane and finish the bucket in traffic. So he has other intangibles that other two guards don't have, right? Mm-hmm. So I like what he brings. I like what he brought. His three balls you mentioned, I didn't see this in him. I didn't see him being able to hit three threes a game. You know, maybe the one, two.
He's been pretty consistent this season.
Yeah, you know, his shot has never really been his main feature, right? Like
no.
Right, but he's hitting the anyhow. Well, the point is, he's hitting his three ball, and he's taking it with confidence.
Yep. Well, so he's a little under average at 34% throughout the year in threes, but in the playoffs, it's jumped up to 46%.
So that's my point.
He's right? Leveled up.
That's my point. So yeah, he's hitting during the most clutch times, and that's when you want to hit. That's when you want a player to be hitting them. So and he's doing it, and that's not easy to do, right? And especially if you haven't really been in that role during playoffs in the past. So these guys are showing it. And so it gives me hope for the future, like guys like CMB and Walter, because this is the crucial moments of their careers in terms of building experience and building an understanding of how to play and what it feels like in the playoffs. And they're gaining that experience now. And this is all, even if they lose game seven, as I said, this is all great experience for the Young Bucks. Right, I think CMB should be a starter next year. That's just me. I think he should be a starter. He should be getting more minutes. He can easily, like, when Ingram went down, I actually thought to myself, should we start CMB? Now, I know our bench would be weaker. Don't get me wrong. I know, like, we need some firepower off the bench. We need a big off the bench for Pirtle or whatnot. But in my mind, I'm like, shit. Because, you know, we're undersized as is. So, anyhow, I'm getting off top. But the point is, I like CMB, man. I like CMB, and I'm glad that he's gaining this experience.
I wouldn't start him, but I think he could flirt the way he's been playing, and I'm thinking the way he works, he's probably going to be better next year. He could flirt with a sixth man of the year category, honestly speaking, just the way he comes off the bench and provides that impact. Like, he'd be a strong contender. Look at Keldon Johnson, right? Like, Keldon Johnson won that this year, and he deserved it for sure, but I think in the way he plays, if he can keep that going, just the way he's playing in the playoffs now, he would be in that top three of a six man right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I think he could be like a la Ginobili. He's essentially a starter that comes off the bench for matchup purposes, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, right? It just depends on what his vision is and the Raptors are to utilize him as, right? Does he want to be bigger than that, or does he see that fit and role for a long-term career?
Yeah, well, with the current lineup, he'll be definitely six man next year. But like what I'm saying, eventually he is a starter type player. I think he will be starting now. At some point.
He could do it now if he played.
Right, that is my whole point. So like, it's like, you know, that's why I kind of flirted with the thought of him starting tonight.
I was going to say, it's interesting because just to flip it on Cleveland for a second, I thought the mistake that, especially in the second half, third quarter, I thought the mistake that that Kenny Atkinson made is, to me, he kept Mobley and Allen on the bench too long. To me, in the first quarter, and what was keeping them strong was that he kept them both on the floor for as long as they could, and they actually were playing like, they're playing at like some guys who are actually 7 feet tall and have a wingspan and understand that they have an advantage on both sides of the floor. But I felt like in the third quarter, because I think Allen only played about 33 minutes, Morey played about 41. The Allen only played 33 minutes, but he wasn't in foul trouble. He only had two fouls.
Right.
But to me, I'm like you got to play to your advantages. And I thought that, like, he kept them out too long. Like, they ended up coming back, and, like, Mitchell obviously was a huge part of that. But I just thought it was interesting that, like, he kept them off the floor, like, together. Like, I think, especially like, this last game, especially in the second half, I think, to me, you needed to have one of them on the floor at all times. Like, to have them both sitting out for a pretty long stretch, I was like, what is he doing? And that's when you notice the Raptors are starting to extend that lead.
Well, the reason why is because the Raptors finally started doing some interesting things at getting some screens at the top with switches, right? So what ends up happening is they're pulling the bigs out, and then CMB, when he was in, he was playing dunker spot short corner. So what ends up happening is that first layer of defense is getting breached. So right away, help comes. So Allen's stepping up, and it's a dump down to CMB for a layup, or a dump down, or either CMB popped out to the corner, and now you had RJ doing that, right? So that's how they're getting those little chippy, little buckets inside. Sometimes they hit, but it's fool's goal because the rotations were late. So they were like, you know what? Let's get these guys out. Let's see if we can match the lineup in. That's what he's trying to do. But to your point, it didn't work. So somebody asked me after our last pod, what do you think the Raptors should do this next game? And my theory was nothing, right? Like, the game plan they had last was good. Continue it. Just be consistent with it, right? Because the matchups were working. Maybe a little bit more fluidity in I keep saying off ball, because they're kind of scripted, you can see. But my thing as a coach, when I put my mind on, is what Cleveland can do to stop the Raptors. And in my mind, I would have thought, to your point, C, is leaving those bigs in and playing pack the line, like packing it in. Raptors aren't shooting the ball crazy, contested it, and they can't rebound. So why would you just, it's almost like a pack the line, soft shell, like you're staying, like you're still man zone, essentially. Let them shoot the threes contested, because you're not going to get rebounds over us. I would have just sat back and thrown some zone.
Listen, man, it's playoff basketball. It don't matter what the errors are. In the playoffs, it's all about the paint. Whoever controls the paint on both ends of the floor is usually going to win the game. It's kind of like football. Whoever controls the line is going to win the game. Right. So in the NBA, especially in the playoffs, whoever controls the paint, doesn't matter if it's driving kicks or it's old school in the post, whoever controls the paint is going to most likely win those games. So play to your advantages if you have them. And I think basketball, sometimes this is where, like, you know, people say it's old school and stuff, but I'm like, it confuses me sometimes where it's like, yes, I understand it's a 3-and-D league, but sometimes just use common sense. You have a 7-footer, use them. And I'm not saying to go and post them up. I'm not saying to post up Mobley and those guys, but use their abilities on the floor. These guys are like, Mobley is like the former defensive player of the year just last year. Use those guys. Like I said, in the second half, you can't have both of them off the floor for long stretches of time. You can't. Own the paint.
I agree.
Just be who you are.
That's absolutely their mistake. See, but I do think they should play old school on them, because that will put them in foul trouble. Anytime they went into the bigs, they got what they wanted.
Easy too. Easy.
Yes.
And the other thing is, like, you know, like I that's what I said on the flip side with the Raptors. They're like you said, see, their on ball defense was phenomenal. Right. Mm-hmm. And the other thing they did very well, see, to your point as well, is they rebound the shit out of the ball defensively. They boxed out, and they kind of they probably, I don't know the stats off the top of my head, I didn't get a chance to see it, but I guarantee you they probably got enough defensive rebounds that was more than any other series, just from my eye test.
Well, yeah, they just look at the stats here. They dominated them on the boards, 65 to 48. They had 19 offensive rebounds to 10.
Yeah, and I guarantee you Cleveland have put up more shots than them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's
chance points. It was pretty. I think Cleveland looks terrible.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. Yes. They just look terrible. They look
way more turnovers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mitchell looked hurt. like, I'm gonna be real. He hasn't looked like the dominant Mitchell that we knew during the regular season. He looks hurt. And I think they were like alluding to that maybe his hamstring is tight or whatnot. But he doesn't look like he has that burst. He doesn't look like he can take over a game right now. Now, he did hit some crucial buckets towards the end, but I wasn't afraid of him in the first or second or third quarter. Like, I wasn't scared. So they're underachieving right now, and it holds well for the Raptors because we're shorthanded right now. So it matches up well for us. But yeah, they are playing bad, and it's giving us a chance.
Yo, shout out to Harden for thinking it's 2016 and not 2026. All those ISOs, you know, and it's so funny, like the dribble package that he's doing, just thinking like he's actually gonna blow by somebody in this day and age. It was cute. I thought it was cute. It was like Care Bears cute. Like you everybody knew, the whole building knew he was gonna shoot a three. He did it like so many times, and I thought it's funny, in the fourth quarter when they were making that run, I thought he kind of hedged their run a little bit by doing that. Because he stopped the ball from moving and was trying to go one-on-one. But it's like, okay, we all know you're going to shoot the three. You're going to do a step back. You're not blowing past this guy. This isn't 2016, 17, 18. This ain't 2K. You know what this is going to be.
So to me, I thought it was hilarious. He can still get by on the ISO. He can still.
Okay, but not in those situations where it's like the clock is running down. Okay, you know what he's going
to
do.
Yeah, not fair. Like he used to. And the other thing, too, which I don't – you know, and we're armchair coaches watching the game, right? But like, this is where I feel like assistant coaches, even Gemma, man, with Darko, like, I feel like sometimes you got to step in and be like, listen, we should do something different here. For example, Shed is on Harden. Harden is about 4 inches taller. When they put Harden in the post on him, he got buckets at will. That's what got him in trouble initially, right? Because he was posting up on him, right? Passing at the wing, going through, stopping. That's why, what's his name, Mobley was kicking out on the corner. And I don't know why they stopped doing that.
Yeah, just
utilize your matchups and put your guys in positions that are, like, you know what I mean? I
agree.
I mean, it's not something you want to go to play after play after play, but – Harden anywhere in the court's going to find the open man. Like, there's a few passes when he was in the post. You saw that one, it just whoosh, right down to Mobley. Like, damn. Like, why not? So how much do you guys think that it's on Atkinson, right, or his staff? And how much – and that's my first question to y'all. And my second one is, do you think in crucial times – like, because, listen – RJ hit that shot, but I'm going to be honest with y'all. The last couple of possessions was pretty horrendous.
It was terrible.
And I don't see Darko consulting, right? I see Darko always grabbing his clipboard and going right to the chair without, you know, sometimes you see coaches, hey, what do you think? And sometimes I see them, but I feel like, is Darko including his staff to get, like Nurse was with my guy Casey. Right? Nurse was the one kind of helping him out on those situations. I think he needs help. I'm honest. No, it's okay. Hey, as a coach, I love help, right?
Crucial yeah, time. Yeah.
What do you see? What do you want? Like, if it's a guy that I respect and he has good acumen and I know that he's proven to help me out in certain situations. But yeah.
So what you're saying is the plan for Scotty to kick it out to Sheed for the game winning shot was not in the works. That's what you're confirming right now.
I don't know.
Randall, you're full of shit. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. You know, and the funny thing is too, it's like I think I even sent you a text. I was like, yo, the game plan couldn't be Shed trying to do the Carlton Banks miracle shot.
No.
That wasn't in the works. Like, you almost felt like when he tried to shoot that shot over Allen, he was like this, like Carlton. Like, that didn't work, man. There's no way that worked. Unfortunately.
Actually, like the last 4 to 5 possessions to end the game were terrible. And some, I think, might have been one after a timeout. It just looked bad. Like they were erratic. They didn't know what they were doing. Nobody was set. I don't know what. I don't know what.
Some of it is playmaking. And I don't think in those situations, like, I don't think, like, it worked out with Scotty making the pass to, he's the one that made the pass to RJ, right? for that shot. But I mean, like, you need another playmaker out there, like a point. This is where I keep saying I sound like a broken record, but like, this is where a point at certain points you need him in the game. Like, you see how like Cleveland threw out like a shooter, right? Like, and I'm not saying shooter is like the end all be all of a great vet, but like it's like it compares, you know, to the end of games. I'd rather him out there than Sheed or Shed. Sorry, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather him out there than that in that situation.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, the both. Yeah, oh yeah, I hear what you're saying, and we definitely are lacking that player. But yeah, we're down a man. I'm not saying Quickly is that man either, but yeah, you do ideally want a point guard that can be breaking you down or setting the play, or especially at those moments of the game, right?
Just want a little bit of order. That's what you need. You need a little bit of order in the playoffs.
It's just sad that it was like 5-6 possessions in a row that they couldn't get order. That's what was mind-boggling, and it allowed Cleveland to get back in it.
And to be honest, I honestly, because of how, to you guys' point, the way that the play calling was breaking down and what was happening, I thought the Raptors were going to run out of bullets. I thought the game was going to be over, because the way it was trending, it was like, they're not running plays right now. They're just throwing anything to see what happens, throwing shit at the wall to see what happens. And I was like, this isn't going well. This execution plan is not going well.
Yeah.
Darko did run a good play on the basket. I think it was to right before OT when he called the timeout. Because what happened is, like I kept saying, they we were penetrating, and they were switching with bigs on RJ. So, and RJ was forcing it. But what he did is, it was kind of a play set up where it was, okay, once they collapse, I'm going to kick it out to, or dump it down to some. I think it was CMB that got the bucket. I can't remember. But it was perfect because, like, they all merged on him because he was doing the same shit all the time, forcing it. And you guys turned around and kind of jump stop, turn, reverse pivot, boom. Easy layup, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I we're critical. They won the game. I just, without a point guard, without their I don't know if Ingram's a leading scorer, right? Without their leading scorer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without their starting point guard.
Yeah.
And without a big, without their center, because Poto still is Passepartout. No one knows where he is.
It's 20 minutes. 20 minutes max. That's the point.
Yeah. And I still don't like that last possession for that game winning three either.
No.
Right? Like, that was, like, I don't know. I, like, when he shot it, I was like, no. Yes. It's one of those shots, right? Like, oh, no. Go. Yeah. Like, it's, you have a chance to win the game. Was it to tie it? Yeah. Was it to win or to tie? Either way. Yeah, exactly. All we needed was a two. And there was still, like, you know, I think when he shot, it was like 1.2 seconds. My whole point, I guess he had the ball. RJ threw it out and put the pressure on. I mean, Scotty threw it out to RJ and put the pressure on him to do something with it with under 3 seconds left.
It's wide open, too.
I was like, that was not the best shot to tie, like, to win the game, a three-pointer, and when you just needed two. You know what I'm saying? Get in the paint and get the foul or something, but it worked out.
He wasn't open, you said?
No, he was open. He was wide open.
To RJ.
Wide open. Yeah, he had to take that. He was wide open.
But he was like a few feet behind the three-point line. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't like he stepped to the line and shot. Like, he was like, not that he was deep like Steph Curry deep, but like, to have the ball that far out with 2 seconds left.
Yeah.
You just need a two.
I mean, at that point, you have to shoot it. You know what I mean?
And half the issue was Scotty throwing it back out. Like, at that point, I think everybody wanted Scotty to take the ball and go into the hoop, get a foul, or even throw it up. But anyhow, it worked out in the end. So,
well, to wrap, what goes it for game seven?
You know, I it's hard to say, right? It's really hard to say, because talent, again, if you look at every home team won, right, so far for this series. Yeah. There's no road to win a series. You got to win one on the road. And if you're looking at how teams played at home, Cleveland should win. Let's be real, right? Like, Cleveland should win. But the way that Raptors are playing with so much heart and passion, you anything could happen. I'm actually interested to see what the spread is starting off right now, like right after, before Sunday. But Cleveland, like my obviously my heart is for Raps to win, but Cleveland should win. But now if Mitchell's still hurt, banged up, and Harden's still playing like playoff Harden, we have a chance to win.
Listen,
even without Ingram again, even without Ingram and quickly.
These last three games, the Raptors have outplayed Cleveland. They have figured out the formula of how to slow them down. They figured out the formula. The key thing is now, could they execute by hitting the open shots that they have? Because they had a lot of open shots. And not to mention, they missed a lot of open threes, wide open threes. Well, at least two or three I can count on top of my head. Barrett had about two or three right off the top of my head. That if those guys buried at least two or three more, it's not a game.
Yeah, but they still hit a high rate, right? So you can't be greedy.
No. What I'm saying is those shots are makeable shots. Not like
I got you.
I'm saying is if Cleveland's game plan is going to continue in that direction, Raptors have nothing to lose. I predicted they would win one or two games, and now we're talking about a game seven.
Yeah. Well, everybody
without Ingram, without quickly, mm-hmm. and without really a center.
Yeah, we shouldn't think even about be this that. Close.
If we started this podcast and said, yeah, you know, the Raptors are going to have Ingram's going to play one game, quickly's going to be out, and we're not going to get any contribution from Yak. You guys, we'd be like, well, nice knowing you. It's about sure. development.
Yep.
And with at least Ingram and Yak, we were like, well, you know, they'll compete probably, you know, maybe get their head kicked in once or twice. And maybe you'll go to a game six if we're lucky. We're going to a game seven, and the momentum is all with the Raptors. All with the Raptors. Everything, they have nothing to lose and only everything to gain. Yeah. Cleveland is on the ropes, and they're swinging for the haymaker. And we're ducking and dodging, and we're going to come with the uppercut.
We come out in that first quarter on their throats, like coming out hard, rattling them.
They are going to. They got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
They have nothing to lose. We didn't even, I don't even think they thought they were going to be here.
No.
And now the confidence is high. These guys got the swagger about them.
They do.
They're going to go in there and they're going to have to stop Scottie Barnes. They don't got anybody to stop them. And that's the problem. They don't have one guy that could slow down Scottie.
Okay, so it sounds like you think Raps are going to pull this out, huh?
I do. I think Cleveland put themselves in this position. Cleveland has underperformed. Cleveland is you could see their morale is done. They've been stung. But we have all we're going to do is come out there and just play ball.
So what do you think? I just looked it up. What do you think the spread is?
I think it's 5.5 for Cleveland.
Okay,
cool. Seven and a half for Cleveland.
Seven and a half.
Am I right?
Yeah, 7.5.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. But listen, man, at the end of the day, I know Vegas is Vegas. So I'm not even going to sit there and try to act like they don't know what they're talking about because you guys bet. You see sometimes where you're like, there's no way that happens. You're like, man, they had that shit down packed.
Well, the odds will change, see. The odds will probably...
No, for sure. But with that said, I mean, game seven, and this is why, like a team like Cleveland, you don't want to be in these positions. Number one, you're wasting energy, you know what I mean, on a team, especially when you're going against a team that's depleted, you're wasting energy to prolong in series because it just takes more wear and tear out of your body. Number one. Number two, it's all about heart. You know what I mean? It's all about there's going to be some, you want the stars to perform, but a lot of times it's that role player that you may not be thinking about that comes through in big moments. We'll see who that's going to be. I don't want to predict on who that's going to be. I don't know right now, but somebody unusual is going to come through and make some shots or make some big plays. You know what I mean? Execution is huge. You know what I mean? Like how you take care of the ball is huge. I want to give the edge to Cleveland because, I mean, throughout this series, it looks like, I mean, today was a bad example for Cleveland for turning over the ball because they weren't protective of the ball at all. You know what I mean? They didn't take care of the ball at all today. And going forward, are they going to take care of the ball in game seven? I'm going to say they're going to do a better job. I think I'm actually, it's weird, man. The way the energy of the playoffs has been right now, I'm kind of going with the Raptors too. Like, look at this. Game seven is, by the time we put this out tomorrow, game seven is going to be Philly and Boston. I'll be honest. I think Philly's going to win that one. The Magic in Detroit is seventh game. That's going to be on Sunday too. I'm kind of leaning towards the Magic. And I mean, you saw what happened with Minnesota and Denver. Yo, this shit is weird right now, man. It's a weird energy that's going on, but it's like, you got to expect the unexpected. So that's why, to your point, to bring it back to the early in the podcast, and I was like, when I heard Ingram was out, I was kind of like, the way this playoffs has been, I think I even messaged you that, Julian. I'm like, the way the playoffs has been, I said it wouldn't surprise me if the Raptors won this game. And that's been the energy so far, at least in this first run. Who knows if that's the energy going forward for the rest of the, you know, until June. But right now, I'm like, the way the energy has been, I'm, like I said, there's a real possibility that by midweek, Toronto might be hosting game one of the second round. there's a strong possibility, which is crazy. But I think, I'm gonna go with the Raptors on this.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. No. That's, you guys are making me feel bad because I'm going against them. But I just like. To your point, one last point. To your point,
I just feel bad. Let him feel bad. Go on.
I do bad because as a homer, you're supposed to be a homer, right? Like, you see the broadcasters with the home team; they're always supposed to give the call to the team, right? So, but anyhow, I'm just trying to be real.
Before you go, the last game I was not confident. So the last game when he asked that question, I said Raps, but I was hesitant. Right, I was kind of like
game six for the game in Cleveland.
This one.
Okay.
I didn't think Raps were gonna win. I think you had it in was it, is it JM? He had it as well, right?
Yeah,
Raps winning. You had Calvin. You had Raps winning tonight.
Yeah,
I can't remember actually.
I was kind of the only one that was like, I don't know, man. I this is tough.
I think I actually did. I'm gonna have to listen back to that. I think I actually did have the Raptors winning that.
You don't even know. You don't even know.
It's hilarious. We tired, man. Not you, because you ready to throw some ones up. Tired, bro.
Got energy now. So I'm up. But hey, shout out to the Raptor fans, to the arena. Yo, I usually try to watch the American feed and whatnot. So I said tonight I'm gonna watch like the TSN feed, and you can get more of like the atmosphere, right? And I'm like, yo, this is crazy. So shout out to the fans that went to the ACC are screaming, yell, because the team fed off it. Like, from the very start, the team played with that same type of energy as the crowd. So shout out to the fans, and that's my only concern. When they go into Cleveland, they're not gonna have that fan support in terms of like the arena encouraging you to dive on the ball and arenas encouraging you to deflect. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm hesitant to choose them. But anyhow, shout out to the Rap fans. Got the best fans in the world.
When you watch the American feed, were the commentators talking about? Because I only watched the Canadian feed. I didn't go. I got a lag when I watched the American feed. Was it were they commentating and saying, "Wow, this is a crazy atmosphere"?
So they would do it, but you don't get. It's not like they have the same microphones to the fan. You can't. It seems like everything's blocked out, and you just hear like the broadcasters. So you don't really hear the full decibel level of the fans. But with the TSN feed, you can hear like the defense. You can hear everything loud, like to the point where you can even barely hear the commentators.
So
you can feel it. You can feel the atmosphere. And I was like, whoa, shit. I should have been watching the TSN feed from day one, because I got more into it. And I got more into it. So I know the players are getting into it. So now you're going on the road. I want to see what kind of energy they're bringing that first quarter when the fans are yelling at you and all that. So We'll see.
The only thing I'll say to wrap up, though, sorry to cut you. The only thing I'll say to wrap up is, though, is, you know what? Maybe I would feel that way about the Raptors, but the energy that they brought in game five to me, you know, mind you, the fourth quarter, they kind of ran out of gas a little bit, but I'm like, the way they played in game five, I think they have a chance to really pull it off, because they, you know, you can take the crowd out of a game. And listen, I mean, I know Randall, you've playing football in the past and such, and me playing basketball in the past. I used to love playing in front of big crowds, but there's something about shutting up the other crowds' fans, especially when it's a big crowd, and just shutting them up. There's beauty in that. There's like a joy in just watching people just like quiet. You know what I mean? It's a joy in that.
Well, imagine playing in a stadium of close to 34,000 and people are chanting USA. USA, that sometimes being the villain's okay.
Yeah.
Right? Raptors have, it's on a plate for them. I would not be stressed if I was in that position.
House money.
Going out, and you know what's the best about it is when you play in those environments, the best thing is that you're more locked in.
Because yeah.
Only people you're looking at is your bench. Like, see what
If you're a dog, you're locked in. If you're not built for it, you're not, man. And that's the thing. And this is who we're finding out who is built for it, who looks for this kind of pressure, who can play under pressure. And this is what the playoffs tells you, what kind of player you have mentality-wise too, right? So, yes, ideally that will be the hope for every player to react that way, but it's not the case. I'm not talking about the Raptors here. I'm not saying that's not the case. I'm just saying in general, it's not for everybody. And you can see who is built for it and who isn't. And like, any playoff atmosphere,
especially game seven.
Yeah, 100%, right? Yeah. So you either built for it. I told you, like when Joel was playing, there was, I'm not going to say the player's name, but there were some players in the mission just hurling, vomiting, just nervous. Some didn't, like, were just scared, petrified. And my brother was like, yo, what the fuck is going on here? And it's just like, yo, man up. So it's crazy. During the game, intermission, playoff game. No. And it was like game six, like almost, it wasn't game seven, but it was like a elimination game. And guys were just shook. Not guys, like two, three guys vomiting. Yo, I when he told me that, I go, what the fuck, professional athletes? And he goes, yep. And I go, oh, fuck me.
Tell us after the recording.
There are some professional athletes or even collegial athletes and whatnot that they need, like, so I know guys that had to throw up before a game.
Yeah. That's fine. Some of them, if they
did it naturally because of the nerves, they'd put their finger down their throat to get it out.
Yeah. They're anxious, right? So, but no, this is like during the game, man, like intermission. And sometimes Joel can look down the bench and see guys are scared. It's like, yo, what the fuck, man? So you're not built for it, man. Not everybody's talented at that level, but not everybody's built for it mentally. Like a Scottie Barnes. You can see them who has a heart. You know what I'm saying? So
to me, those games are always fun to play in. Sometimes, I mean, you had big games. Sometimes, you know, you might not have the best game, but those games to me are always fun. Shutting up a crowd is fun.
Oh, 100%. If you can do it.
If you can do it. if you can do it.
You can play in front of it, but when you do it.
Yeah, no, and for sure, and honestly, when you, and it sounds, and I hate to bring this up, but when you have that number one guy, it's really fun to play on game seven on the road when you know you have that guy. But like I said, Scotty right now is, you know, he's one light. We'll take that for now. It's the first round. But to me, my prediction, I'll end with this. My prediction is the Raptors are going to be hosting the Magic on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay.
Right. I think this is where we're going. It's either that or we're driving on the 401 4 hours in Detroit.
And I'll tell you this: if they play Orlando, I think they have a chance of advancing. That's a easier matchup than Cleveland.
I do too.
Yeah, but this is a different Magic team now than the one that they went on a 31-0 run on. This is a different Magic team now.
Yeah. But I do like our matchup as well versus playing Detroit. I don't know how Detroit's so like Durin's. Well, we're not going to get into it, but some of those guys are underachieving. They won. They came back tonight and they won. They looked good in the last fourth quarter. But yeah, Orlando just choked. By the way,
yeah, I was shocked when I saw the score because I'm like, wait a minute, weren't they up like 20? I'm like, what the hell is going on here? They're bullying Detroit. I'm like, what do you mean they're up 18? What?
Unbelievable. I heard they missed 20 straight field goal attempts, 20 straight possessions in a row.
Wow.
20. So, but anyway, that's how you lose.
Well, I'm not scared of Detroit either. I said that too.
Oh, really?
No, I've been saying that I'm not scared of Detroit.
Yeah, it's just more of a match.
They got exposed in the playoffs too right now. They got exposed.
Everybody is actually.
I don't see what everyone sees. I just never have. They're a good team, really good defensive team, but I don't fear them. Like they didn't get much better from last year except their experience.
Yeah.
But
so what's it's gonna be wild, but we'll wrap up here. But you know, as always, guys, thank you for doing this and staying up, man. We got to let Julian go to the club right now. So we got to let him loose.
Popping up for a few drinks. Locally. I don't got to go too far.
But we'll come back, I guess, Sunday night, or, you know, a new episode will be out Monday morning. We'll talk about the results of game 7. So either we're talking about the next round, my prediction might be true, or we're having the Raptors season finale on to be put out Monday morning. So we'll figure this out together.
Thank you for checking out the latest edition of the Av Podcast. Special shout out goes out to Randall Walter and Julian, a.k.a. Jules the Commish, for hopping on this episode and talking about game 6 of this Raptors-Cavs series. Or otherwise, this game will forever be known as the RJ shot. this is a crazy game. This is the playoffs overall has been one of the most interesting experiences I've seen in a little while. Cause it's like the new guard is here, obviously, but the way things are happening in this first round, like some of these quote unquote upsets aren't really upsets. And I mean, this is a 5-4 matchup between the Raptors and the Cavs. But right now, I'm telling you, man, I said what I said too. I think they might pull this off. The way the energy has been in the playoffs right now, it would not shock me in the least. And not just because the game's going to game 7. There's been so much upsets, series that are going much longer than we thought, that really and truly, I think the Raptors can pull this off. And we'll have to see what happens. But man, this is interesting. With that said though, Game 7 will be on Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. There will be a Game 7 post-game pod. So either we'll be celebrating or we'll be taking a viewpoint of looking back, you know, with the Boys to Men song in the background. You know what it is. You know, it's so hard to say goodbye. I'm not going to try to sing it. It's kind of late, so I don't want to sing that song right now. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean by it all. So either way, that episode will come out first thing Monday morning. So look out for that. You're getting a Saturday edition special of the Av Podcast today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching on the South Shore Av YouTube channel. Thanks for the support as always, especially on the socials. You can go to South Shore Av on most of your platforms, including TikTok. Like and subscribe. Leave the comments wherever you can. Make sure you go to the catalog over at SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that is SouthShoreAv.com. And wherever you listen to podcasts, like, you know, as always, we're always there. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Alexa. And quite frankly, there's probably a whole bunch of other places. Just go listen to it. We're there. like I said, as always, I appreciate the love and the support. And this reminds me of 7 years ago in 2019 when I was doing this Raptors run all the way to them winning the title. Not saying that's going to happen here, but it's kind of cool to actually go on a podcast run again with the local team, because I'm actually forgetting through this experience how enjoyable this is. But I'm glad you're here with the journey with us. All right. For Randall Walter and Julian, a.k.a. Jules the Commish, this is Cal C. And you just tuned into the latest episode of the Av Podcast right here on South Shore Ave Radio. All right, until Monday morning, we out. Have a great weekend. And bundle up, because for some reason it's cold, at least in Toronto. Why? Why is it still cold? Anyway, have a great weekend.